Welcome back, everybody, to The Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be taking a look at a case that's over 50 years old, but it still has a really, really big impact on the law today.
Absolutely.
We're diving deep into Bailey v. United States, and this case really tries to figure out, like, what criminal intent is.
Right.
What does it really mean to aid and abet?
Yeah.
So, you know, you might be a lawyer, a law student, or just someone who's fascinated by the legal system. But this case is going to make you think twice about what it really means to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It really is one of those cases that goes right to the heart of proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much evidence do we need to actually convict somebody?
Right.
And can just being at a crime scene be enough to land you in jail? These are questions that we're still grappling with today.
Right.
Especially now with all of our, you know, surveillance technology and everything.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's get into the details of this case. Back in 1969, John Bailey found himself at the center of this legal battle. So walk us through what actually happened here, like focusing on what Bailey actually did and, more importantly, what he didn't do during this robbery at Center Market.
So picture this. We have John Bailey and another man just kind of hanging out near the Center Market building.
Oh.
And we don't have any evidence that they were, you know, planning to rob the place or anything like that.
Wow.
There's no, you know, conspiracy.
Right.
But they are seen gambling, but that alone doesn't make them criminals, right?
Right.
And then it gets really interesting because an employee leaves the building and he's got a bag full of cash.
Uh-oh.
Over $4,000, and he's on his way to the bank. And that's when the other man, not Bailey, pulls out a gun and robs the employee.
Okay, wait, so where's Bailey during all of this? Like, was he acting as like a lookout, or was he like, you know, providing backup? It just sounds like they're trying to like pin this case on the fact that he was just near the robbery.
That's a great point, and that is really the heart of this case.
Mm.
Witnesses put Bailey about 10 feet away from where the actual robbery took place.
Okay.
But there's no evidence that he ever, you know, spoke to the robber or like signaled him or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't participate in the robbery itself in any way. There's no evidence that he had a weapon on him, and he never got any of the stolen money.
So no weapon, no direct involvement, no share of the money. So it seems like the prosecution's case is that Bailey was just there and then ran away after the robbery happened.
Yeah.
So was that enough to say that he was guilty of aiding and abetting?
Well, that's where the legal definition of aiding and abetting really comes in.
Okay.
The prosecution argued that Bailey being there and his, you know, previous association with the robber and the fact that he ran away after the crime, all of that was enough to prove that he was guilty.
Okay.
They were relying on what we call circumstantial evidence to build their case.
Okay, so for people who aren't lawyers, can you break down exactly what it means to aid and abet a crime?
Sure.
Because I think a lot of people would think that just being there when a crime happens is enough.
Right.
But it seems like that's not the case.
Yeah, so aiding and abetting, it's more than just being at the scene of the crime.
Okay.
Legally, it means that you've actively associated yourself with the criminal act, that you participated in it because you wanted it to succeed, and that you took steps to make that happen.
Okay, so it's not just about, you know, passively watching a crime happen.
No.
It's about actually doing things to help make it happen.
Exactly.
So it seems like in the Bailey case, the prosecution was kind of stretching that definition a bit.
Yeah, they were really pushing the limits of what aiding and abetting means.
Okay, so let's talk about like a bank robbery.
Okay.
The getaway driver is definitely aiding and abetting, right?
Absolutely.
Because they're actively helping the robber escape.
Right.
But what about someone who is just walking by the bank when it gets robbed?
Right.
Are they aiding and abetting just because they were nearby?
That's a great question, and it's exactly the kind of situation that the Bailey case makes us think about.
Right.
It forces us to really examine the difference between just being present and actively participating in a crime.
Okay, so how did the court rule in this case? Did they agree with the prosecution that just being there and knowing the robber was enough to convict Bailey?
So the majority of the judges in Bailey, they took a really strong stance.
Okay.
And they said that just being there and knowing the robber wasn't enough to convict him.
Okay.
They said that the prosecution had to prove that Bailey actually did something to help the crime happen.
Okay.
That he wasn't just watching, but that he was actually participating.
Right.
They even brought up a case from before Bailey called Pereira v. United States.
Okay.
And in that case, the court said that suspicion, no matter how strong it is, can't replace actual proof.
So it seems like the court was trying to make a very clear distinction between just being in the wrong place at the wrong time and actually doing something to help a crime happen.
They were sending a strong message that you can't convict someone based on assumptions or just because they know the person who committed the crime.
Right.
They were emphasizing that the prosecution needs solid evidence to prove someone is guilty.
So they were really upholding that standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Exactly. They weren't going to let the prosecution get away with building a case on circumstantial evidence alone.
Okay. I'm guessing there was another side to this legal battle, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like a dissenting opinion that maybe saw the evidence differently?
Yeah, there were some judges who disagreed with the majority's decision.
Okay.
And they had a different interpretation of what happened with Bailey and what aiding and abetting really means.
Okay. So this is where things start to get even more interesting.
Okay.
We've heard the prosecution side of the story, and we've heard what the majority of the judges thought.
Right.
But now let's dive into that dissenting opinion mm-hmm. and see why those judges disagreed.
Sounds good. So the dissenting judges in the Bailey case, they felt that the jury should have had more freedom to interpret the evidence.
Okay.
They thought that looking at all the circumstances together,
right,
like Bailey being there, his connection to the robber, and the fact that he ran away, that all of that could reasonably lead a jury to conclude that he was guilty.
Okay.
They felt that the majority opinion was making it too hard to prove aiding and abetting.
Okay.
Basically saying that you need like a smoking gun in every case.
Oh, wow. So the dissenting judges were basically saying that we should look at the whole picture and not just focus on individual pieces of evidence.
Exactly. They thought the jury should be able to connect the dots
right.
and decide whether the overall picture pointed to guilt.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't that kind of open the door to convicting people based on circumstantial evidence?
Yeah, that's a really important point.
Right.
And it's a central part of the debate about aiding and abetting.
Right.
The dissent was worried that the majority's strict rules would let guilty people go free.
Right.
Just because their actions were subtle or indirect, they thought that focusing only on proving direct involvement would make it really tough to convict people in cases where the evidence is mostly circumstantial.
So it's like this ongoing struggle in the legal system.
Right.
Trying to balance the need to protect innocent people from being wrongly convicted.
Absolutely.
With the need to hold people accountable when they do contribute to crimes.
That's exactly it.
Okay, so in the end, the majority opinion won outright.
It did.
So how did that impact future aiding and abetting cases?
Well, the Bailey decision really set a precedent by stressing the need for proof of active participation.
Right.
It created a safeguard against convictions that were based on just being near a crime or knowing the criminal.
Mm-hmm.
It reinforced that idea that we need hard evidence,
right,
not just suspicion to prove someone's guilt.
Right. So that makes a lot of sense. It protects people from being punished just because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But how does a case from the 60s apply to today's world with all the technology we have? Like, could you be convicted of aiding and abetting just because of data from your phone or security camera footage?
That's where the Bailey case becomes super relevant today.
Okay.
Think about it. What if you're walking by a store and they're robbing it?
Okay.
And you're just looking at your phone completely unaware of what's happening.
Right.
Could that security footage be enough to get you charged with aiding and abetting?
Oh, wow. That's kind of scary.
It is a little unsettling, right?
Yeah. It's like just these little digital traces could be used to get someone in trouble for a crime they had nothing to do with.
Exactly.
But it sounds like the principles from the Bailey case could help protect people in those situations.
Yeah. Bailey acts as a shield
against
prosecutors trying to use just proximity or association to convict someone, even in this age of technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reminder that even if there is digital evidence, the prosecution still has to show a strong connection between what the person did and the actual crime.
Right. Not just that they were nearby or knew the perpetrator.
Exactly.
So while the Bailey case was about a regular robbery, it seems like its principles apply to way more than that.
Well, absolutely.
It's important for how we think about evidence in all sorts of crimes.
Yeah, like cybercrime and even terrorism cases.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it highlights how important it is to really look at evidence carefully.
Right.
Especially when it's hard to prove direct involvement.
Definitely. And it's especially important when we're dealing with digital evidence.
Okay.
The Bailey case is like a warning sign.
Okay.
Telling us to be cautious about assuming someone's guilty just because they were in the wrong place or knew the wrong people.
Right.
Even if that connection shows up in their digital records.
Okay.
It forces us to ask whether digital footprints alone can really prove that someone intended to commit a crime and took actions to make it happen.
It's interesting to think about how this case would play out if it happened today.
Yeah.
With all the extra digital evidence we have,
right.
would the outcome be different? Would the dissenting judge's viewpoint have more weight now that we have surveillance cameras and location tracking everywhere?
Those are really great questions, and they're questions that legal experts still debate today.
Okay.
But the Bailey case serves as a reminder that the fundamental principles of fairness and proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, those principles have to guide how we seek justice, no matter how much technology advances.
Okay.
It's not about convenience or taking shortcuts.
Right.
It's about upholding the rights of every individual.
So Bailey v. United States is more than just an old case.
It is.
It's like a guide for understanding how to prove guilt.
Right.
In this world where technology is constantly changing how we gather evidence.
Exactly.
It's a reminder that suspicion alone isn't enough to convict someone.
Mm.
And that our legal system has to protect people from being convicted based on weak evidence or just because they knew the wrong person.
I agree. It underscores the importance of really scrutinizing evidence, understanding the subtleties of aiding and abetting charges, and making sure that every conviction is based on solid proof.
Not assumptions.
Right, not just convenience or gut feelings.
So with all that said,
yeah.
let's talk about what this means for our listeners.
Okay.
How does Bailey v. United States change how you think about criminal responsibility? In our world that's so driven by technology. We'll dive into those questions after a quick break. All right, so we're back and ready to really dig into like what this all means. Like, what are the big takeaways from Bailey v. United States?
Yeah, it really makes you think about how we decide if someone's guilty, especially in a world where technology is like always changing what counts as evidence. Like, it reminds us that the burden of proof, it's on the prosecution. You know, they can't just say, oh, this person was there when the crime happened, or they knew the person who did it and call it a day.
Right.
They have to actually show real evidence that the person, like, did something to help the crime happen and wanted it to succeed.
Yeah. And like you said before, proving intent can be really hard, especially when you're talking about circumstantial evidence.
Exactly.
I imagine that's where, like, a lot of legal battles take place.
Right.
With the defense saying, hey, you're just making assumptions.
Right.
And the prosecution trying to say, no, look at all these clues. They all add up.
Exactly. That's a lot of what we see in court.
Okay. So what are the big things our listeners should remember from Bailey?
Okay. So first off, just being, there isn't enough to be guilty. Like, if you happen to be near a crime or you know someone who committed a crime, that doesn't automatically make you a criminal, too.
Okay, so we can't just assume someone's guilty because they were in the wrong place or knew the wrong person.
Right. We have to look at the evidence and not jump to conclusions.
Okay, what else?
Second, be careful about weak connections. The prosecution can't just base their case on guesses or assumptions.
Right.
They need to show a clear link between what the person did and the crime itself.
Okay, so like no jumping to conclusions based on things that could be coincidence.
Exactly.
We need solid proof.
Right.
Not just stories that sound good.
Yeah, the Bailey case sets a high standard for the kind of evidence needed to convict someone for aiding and abetting.
Okay, and what's the last takeaway?
Lastly, Bailey protects us from overzealous prosecutors.
Okay.
It reminds us that they still have to prove their case.
Right.
Even in a world full of digital evidence.
Okay.
We can't let the ease of tracking people's movements and connections.
Right.
Make us forget about basic fairness and proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah, Bailey v. United States, it's definitely not just a dusty old case.
It's not.
It really makes us think about the evidence we use to send people to jail.
Yeah.
The assumptions we make about guilt and how we protect innocent people. It reminds us that just because someone looks suspicious doesn't mean they're guilty.
Right.
And our legal system has to be really carefully designed to make sure we only punish people who are actually guilty.
I completely agree.
Well, we hope this deep dive into Bailey v. United States has given you all a new way of thinking about this really important case. We've looked at the facts, the ins and outs of aiding and abetting.
Right.
And the challenges of understanding evidence in a world that's so reliant on technology. But more than anything, we hope it's made you appreciate the importance of fair trials and having strong evidence to support any conviction.
That's what it's all about.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive, and we'll see you next time.